Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. You are my Son, the Beloved One. With you I am well pleased. These words rang out from God the Father upon Jesus as the dove descended upon him in his baptism, announcing who he is. Who he is, what he does, who this Jesus is for us, who this Jesus represents to the world, who this Jesus embodies, the very Son of the living God. Now, throughout the centuries, there's been much debate, much theological interpretation about the meaning and the nature of the baptism of Jesus. There have been many questions as to why was Jesus baptized. After all, if Jesus is perfect, if Jesus is sinless, if Jesus is the Son of God, if Jesus is God incarnate in human flesh, and if baptism is for the remission of sins, then why would Jesus need to be baptized? He wouldn't need to be baptized based on our understanding of it. So why was Jesus baptized? This was a real problem even for John the Baptist. He recognized that he had no business baptizing Jesus. We find that, by the way, in the Gospels, in all four Gospels. We see John the Baptist affirming Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, as the one whom he should be kneeling before to be baptized. He said in one of the Gospels, I think it's Matthew, he said, I need to be baptized by you, and you want me to baptize you? And here in Luke, he says, I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. I'm not worthy to change his shoes. I can't possibly be the Messiah. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I just baptize in water. We have multiple references in the Gospels to John the Baptist's own discomfort with the very idea of baptizing Jesus. It is a good question. Why was Jesus baptized? Some Christians, early on in the church especially, Arianite Christians, believed that Jesus was simply a human being, simply a man, whom God decided to adopt. And at his baptism, we have that adoption. God saying, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. God adopted Jesus at his baptism, they said. But the church rejected that interpretation of the meaning of the baptism. The church said, no, Jesus was God from the very beginning. From before the beginning of the world, Jesus was already God. So it's not some adoption that occurs at his baptism, it's something else altogether. And the hint for what that something else might be can be found in another story in the New Testament. Another story about Jesus where something very similar is said. Does anybody know what that story is? The Transfiguration of Jesus. The Transfiguration of Jesus. On Mount Tabor, when Jesus is there with James and with Peter and John, and Moses and Elijah come and stand with him, and Jesus' clothing is transformed, and he fluoresces like a stained glass window in his transfiguration, and then the cloud descends, and a voice from the cloud booms out, "This is my Son, listen to him." It's a very similar kind of story in which Jesus is pointed out by the Father as being the star of the show. And that's what we have here in his baptism. In the very beginning of his ministry, God saying, this is the star of the show. This is my Son. This is the Messiah. This is God incarnate in human flesh. This is the one who will change everything. And we can see this also in the way in which the church grew to understand the meaning of his baptism. If it's not some kind of adoption, and it wasn't, then what was it? It was God pointing out, God fingering, God pointing to Jesus and saying, this is the one you are to follow. Those words are even put into John the Baptist's voice. Over in John's Gospel, John the Baptist says, there goes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's an interesting study between the Gospels. Mark was the first one written, and it was written sometime in the mid-60s. And in Mark's Gospel, it simply says straight out that Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan. No ifs, ands, or buts. It happened, and it says it straightforward, just like that. The second gospel probably written about 10 years later was Matthew. And in Matthew's gospel, it says, and when Jesus had been baptized by John in the River Jordan. So it places it into the past tense. It removes it slightly from the immediacy of the event. John the Baptist is still doing the baptizing, but there's been a slight removal by making it in the past tense. Here in Luke's gospel, it says, now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened. So in other words, it places it into the past tense and removes John from the context. Now John's still there, he's still present, he's still pointing out Jesus, and we know he's the one who did it, but the way in which it's written in the gospel makes it clear. From Mark to Matthew to Luke, they're slowly trying to take John the Baptist out of the picture. Dealing with this baptism question, why was Jesus baptized? It's a difficult problem. Well, let's remove John the Baptist from the picture and see if that helps. And then by the time we get to the 90s AD and the Gospel of John itself is written, guess what? I challenge you to find any reference to Jesus being baptized in that gospel. It's not there. Now, John the Baptist is mentioned. It's mentioned that he's baptizing, and the event where the Holy Spirit descends as a dove, and the voice of God says, this is my beloved Son, with him I am well pleased, which is found in all four Gospels, that is also there, but it's not articulated in the context of there being an actual baptism, nor does it say when Jesus had been baptized by John, or at all. Interesting. From Mark in the 60s, where it says point blank that Jesus is baptized by John in the River Jordan, to John in the 90s, where it doesn't even bother to say it, you have a progression, an attempt to deal with the problem by simply setting it aside and focusing in what John focuses in on, the proclamation of John the Baptist that this Jesus is the Lamb of God. This Jesus is the ruler of the universe. This Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This Jesus is God incarnate in human flesh, the Word of God made manifest in a human being. This Jesus is the one we're to pay attention to. This Jesus is the one we're to follow. This Jesus is the one who will change the world. That's the importance of the baptism of Jesus. It professes and proclaims and provides the stage on which God says, this is my Son. In him I am well pleased. Now, sacramental theology says one thing more. It says that the baptism of Jesus initiates baptism as a sacrament for Christians. Prior to Jesus' baptism, it was a ritual that Jews repeatedly did when they wanted to repent of their sins, when they wanted to prepare for the day, when they wanted to cleanse themselves of any evil they had been around, they would go through a ritual bath that was essentially a baptism. Well, with Jesus, something new is happening. And baptism into Jesus is something completely different. It is a new life with God, a new life in Christ, when we are baptized into Jesus, into his life, into his death, and into his resurrection, when we are immersed into Christ, we are changed. We're no longer our own. We're no longer who we were. We are suddenly no longer foreigners. We're suddenly no longer distant. We are brought near and into the very family of God. And we take on the name of Christian. We take on the name of Christ our Lord. We become sons and daughters of the King, brothers and joint heirs with Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about that for a moment. Just as God said to Jesus, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." So also, thanks to our baptisms, thanks to having been immersed into Christ Jesus, thanks to being part of the family of God, suddenly God can now say to and for us, "You are my beloved daughter, my beloved son. In you I am well pleased." Ooh. Oh, Greg, that can't possibly be. I mean, I know how much of a sinner I am. I know the things that I have done wrong. I know how I have stumbled day after day, how I get off track and fail to follow the pathway that Jesus has for me, how I don't do the things that I know I'm supposed to do and do the things that I know I shouldn't do. I know how far I stray from the mark that Jesus has me the lead to, has me going to. I know how far I've gone astray. When y'all, Stan, Lisa, when y'all were taking care of Dorcas for me, and you would walk that dog, when that nose of that basset hound picked up the scent of a cat or a squirrel or a raccoon and went off the pathway, you almost had no choice but to follow after her. Because she was stubborn and strong, and she was going to follow that smell wherever it led her. I was walking her just the other day, and she caught the smell of something. I think it was a cat, because it was her cat bark. She tore off, pulling me across somebody's muddy front yard, trying to get to that smell. She went astray. We do the same thing. Our sniffer gets us whiff of sin that we like. Our sniffer gets a whiff of the kinds of things that we like to do that we know we're not supposed to do, and we just go for it. We go after it. We go astray. We leave the path, and we sin. So God can't possibly say, "You are my son, you are my daughter, and you are well pleased." He might say, "You're my son, and I want to give you a spanking." Right? That's what grace is about. That's what the death of Jesus on the cross takes care of. That's what the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is for. You see, we do go astray. We do wander. We do sin. And in those moments and at those times and in those points in our lives when we have gone astray, we can hear the voice of God calling us back to the path, calling us back to the way of life that Jesus has for us, calling us back to faith. We can hear and receive the grace of God which enables us to return to the way of faith instead of the way of stumbling and sin. We can hear and receive the grace of Jesus, which enables us to return to the path and hear afresh and anew the voice of God, the voice of the Father saying, "You are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased." That's what baptism is about. That's what remembrance of baptism is about. That's what confirmation is about. That is what the sacrament of Holy Communion is about. That's what reading the scriptures is about. That's what hearing the scriptures proclaimed is about. That's what praying is about. That's what serving is about. That's what worship is about. That's what giving is about. It is about being brought back again, anew and afresh, to the path that Christ has for us. And hearing the voice of God saying anew, "You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased." Sin is a stumbling block before us all. And we think we are unworthy to participate in the family of God, unworthy to come to the table of the Lord, unworthy to be baptized, unworthy to remember our baptisms, unworthy to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And guess what? We're right. But we are made worthy by Christ Jesus in our baptisms, in remembering our baptisms, in partaking of the Holy Eucharist, in reading the scriptures, in praying, in praising, in worship, in service, in giving, by partaking of the many means of grace. We are made worthy by the blood of the Lamb who died on the cross for us. And we're enabled to come back, step over that stumbling block of sin, and return to the path that Jesus has for us. Sin, in the Greek word for sin is hamartia. Hamartia means to fall short or miss the mark. It's an archery term. And the imagery is not that you aim your bow and arrow at the target and you hit the broadside of the barn, but not the target. The image is that you don't even make it to the barn. Your arrow falls short. It hits the ground between you and the target. It doesn't come anywhere close to hitting the mark that God has for you. When we sin, we're not just missing the mark, we're falling short of that goal that Jesus has for us. It's not the things that we do. It's the desire to go astray, to be led by our sin sniffer and go after it rather than follow path of Christ in faith. To overcome sin, we simply have to turn around. That word repentance means quite literally to turn around and go the other way. It's as simple as that and as difficult as that. When I will call Dorcas back onto the path, she repents when she turns around and comes back to the path. And sometimes it takes me dragging her. Sometimes it takes the Holy Spirit dragging us back to the path of faith. And we'll fight God all the way sometimes. But if we partake of the means of grace, if we don't forsake the fellowship of the faithful together, if we read scripture, engage in Bible study, engage in worship, engage in service, engage in giving, engage at the table of the Lord, engage in remembering our baptisms, if we partake of the means of grace, those instruments and tools that God has established in scripture and the life of the church to touch and receive the grace of God, if we partake of these many instruments and tools as a faithful act, acting in faith, we know that we can return to the path. We can step over the obstacles. And we too can hear those words that the Father spoke to Jesus, words spoken to us because we are members of the family of faith. "You are my beloved child, my beloved daughter, my beloved Son. In you, I am well pleased. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is a very special day for me, personally, because the big brother, who some loved me and sometimes terrorized me, turn around and face the congregation. This is my brother Chuck. He comes today to be baptized. And to also present his daughter over here, baby Jaden, to be baptized. Frankly, I am rather overwhelmed right now. And so I praise God and call us to move to that part of the service. So if you'll turn to page 33 in your hymnals. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Who is presented here today for baptism?
And Jaden Riley.
Charles Mayo and Jaden Riley. Okay, I have some questions. First, for my brother Charles Mayo Jr. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
Yes, I will.
According to the grace, this is also for Chuck, according to the grace given to you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve Christ as a representative in the world?
Yes, I will.
All right. Now, this is for those who are sponsoring Jaden. Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life?
Yes.
Okay. This is to the congregation. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, affirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
Yes.
Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care?
We will help, we will proclaim good news, and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and faithfulness, that they may grow in their trust to God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples to walk the way that leads to life.
Continue at 9.
Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Okay. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Declare your works to the nations, his glory among all people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. This is the part I've been looking forward to. If we dunked, well.
We do that enough in the pool at home.
Charles Mayo, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, would those who are gathered here please place your hands on him? The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. There you go. Hey, Jane. Oh. Oh. You know what? I think I'll keep her. She's adorable. Jaden Riley, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Place your hands on her. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister and brother in Christ. Through baptism, you are incorporated in the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus as members of the family of Christ. Amen.
Let me dwell in your presence, Lord. Let me learn at your feet. I will take
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2013 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.